Well, today, church, we have been blessed to be able to observe already one of the two ordinances that the Lord gave to us. An ordinance is a physical act that pictures a spiritual truth. When Dennis was baptized just a few moments ago, that was a physical act, but it portrays or pictures a spiritual truth related to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Even in cold water, it still pictures the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a reminder that because of Jesus, it'll never get hot where you're going. It'll always be refreshing where you're headed with Jesus. Amen? But also today, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the second of the physical acts that God gave to the church. The church has attached the name ordinance to it. Ordinance meaning, as we said, a physical act with a spiritual truth behind it. The baptism represents the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. But the Lord's Supper, what does the Lord's Supper represent for us? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, let's read this text and see what God has to say. Let's read it out loud together. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Somebody say amen. Like we said, the ordinances are given to us by Jesus. The Apostle Paul was acknowledging as much when he says, that I have given to you what I have received from the Lord. And he remembered what God had taught him about the night in which Jesus was betrayed. And with Jesus being betrayed, he was instituting for us what we call the Lord's Supper. That is the title of the message today, the Lord's Supper. What is it that God would have us to know about the Lord's Supper today? First of all, he wants to show us the picture that is revealed. Every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, there is a beautiful picture that is being revealed to our spiritual eyes, through our physical eyes, and through the elements that are used. There are two pictures that I want to show you today in the Lord's Supper. You'll have the bread and you'll have the juice. Well, the first picture that's revealed for us is our Lord's body that was sinless. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, when you see it or observe it, you'll use bread and you'll use juice. And the bread is a picture of our Lord's body that was sinless. In chapter 11, verse 24, the word says, And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my what? This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, it couldn't be just any old body that was given for us. It had to be a sinless body. It had to be sinless from its conception. It had to be sinless from its birth. It had to be sinless through its life. It had to be sinless through its death. And it would not do for a good man to offer his life for us. It had to be a perfect man. And there's only been two perfect, and that is the first Adam. But the first Adam did not maintain his perfect condition. He sinned, and as a result, all of mankind fell in sin as a result. But our Lord Jesus, which is also called the last Adam, he is the last Adam, and his body was a perfect body, and it was perfect in that it was sinless. And so today, when you observe the Lord's Supper, or at home when you participate in communion, or any time that you do it, it should be a picture in your mind when you hold that bread in your hands of the Lord's body, which was sinless. It was a body that was given just for you. If you believe that, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Lord's body is sinless. And so in a symbolic fashion, in a representative manner, when you receive the bread in just a few moments, I want you to look at that body. And I want you to see the stripes on it. I want you to see if you can see the piercing in it. And I want you to be reminded that it's the Lord's body which was given for whom? For me and for you. And that's what I want you to see. It's the Lord's body. It was given. It wasn't taken. It was given. It wasn't forced. It was given willingly. It was given gladly. It was given humbly. It was given obediently. It was given sinlessly just for you. That's the picture that's being revealed. Not only do we see our Lord's body that's sinless, but secondly, our Lord's blood, which was sufficient. Now that ought to make a Baptist shout right there. Our Lord's blood that was sufficient. He says in verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my what? In my blood. His body was given for you, but you're not saved by his body. You're saved through his blood. That blood that was in Jesus' body was royal blood. It was rich blood. It was regal blood. It was redemptive blood. And praise God that Jesus was able to pay it all through the shedding of his blood for your sins and for mine. Now you think about the worst sin you've ever committed. You think about the worst season of your life. If you didn't have a blood that was sufficient, you would have to find a way to appease a holy God on your own. But today as you sit here, you have his body which was sinless, but you have in that cup the juice which represents the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus to pay not for most of your sin, not for your little sin, not for your hang-ups, but for every vile, offensive, carnal, worldly, ungodly thing you could ever do. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to appease the holiness of Almighty God. That's the picture that's being revealed for us. A body that was sinless, but the blood that was sufficient. Man, every time I sin and every time I confess my sin, I thank God for the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus. You ought to do the same as well. Praise the Lord for the sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, all of that's the picture that's being revealed, but there's a second thing that I need to show you, and that's the procedure that is rewarded. What procedure do we need to go through every time we observe the Lord's Supper? We know what it represents, the Lord's body that was sinless and the Lord's blood that was sufficient. But how do you go about participating in the Lord's Supper? What should you do and what should I do every time that we participate in it? If you do it at home, if you do it in the church, if you do it in the mountains, if you do it in Africa, wherever you observe the Lord's Supper, there are two things that I have found that need to be a part of the procedure. Number one, a time for reflection needs to be experienced. Every time you hold that bread that represents the sinless body of Jesus, and every time you look at that juice and get ready to drink it, represents the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus, a time for reflection ought to be experienced in your life and mine. What three things ought to you reflect upon as you participate in the Lord's Supper? In verse 23, he says, the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance or in reflection of me. First of all, the first thing that we ought to remember, the first thing that we ought to reflect upon is that we ought to take a backwards look to the cross. We ought to look backwards to the cross of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 26, For often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's what? The Lord's death. That's what you are reflecting upon when you're about to participate in this Lord's Supper, in this communion, in the Eucharist. The word communion means thanksgiving. The word Eucharist, you know, it means fellowship. The word Eucharist means thanksgiving. It's a fellowship time. It's a thanksgiving time. And what we do together in fellowship is we look backward to the cross of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that Jesus died. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He said, Christ died. He's not saved. You're not saved by his good life. You're not saved by his great teaching. You're not saved by his moral example. You are saved through his death and through the shedding of his blood. When you hold that bread today and you drink that juice today, look back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it'll remind you and you reflect on the fact that Jesus died. But not only do you reflect on the fact that Jesus died, but you need to reflect on how Jesus died. Jesus died on an old rugged cross. They took the sinless body of Jesus and they beat it beyond recognition. They bruised it. They spat upon it. They did horrific things to it. And 39 lashes came down on him. And they beat him. And they beat him. And they beat him. But then they took and crucified him. They took those nails or those spikes and they drove them in his hands. They took the spike and they drove it in his feet. They put him up on that cross for everybody to see and they mocked him. They spat at him and they did all kinds of cursing and railing against him. Today, when you think about the sufficiency of the blood, today when you think about the sinlessness of the body, I want you to also remember to look back to the cross. When you get ready to participate and hold that bread in your hand, drink that juice through your lips, remember that he died, but remember how he died. But you also need to remember why he died. Paul summarized it best for us in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died on an old rugged cross. Christ died a brutal and a bloody death, but he did it for our sin. Now you think about the sins that come to your mind right now. You think about the vile thoughts that you've had. You think about the angry temper that you've had. You think about the tantrums you've ever thrown. You think about the lust you've ever fostered. You think about the adultery. You think about the fornication. You think about the lying. You think about the cheating. You think about the killing. You think about whatever it is that you've done. Christ died for that sin. Christ died for everything you've ever done, not as a license for you to continue doing it, but as a payment for what you've done and you will do. We need to reflect backwards to the cross of Jesus Christ. But not only do we look backwards to the cross, we look forward to his return. Somebody say amen. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death for how long? Until he comes. Somebody say amen. Amen. He didn't leave us here to stay forever. Death is not the end of this for us. God has said, I'm coming back for you. When's he coming back for you? When he finishes building your mansion in heaven. When he finishes building the mansion in heaven, then he's going to send his son Jesus for his bride. And say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. You see, when you get saved, you have become aware of how sinful you are. When you get saved, you become aware how separated you are from a thrice holy God. When you get saved, you realize there's only one way and there's only one truth and there's only one life, and that is Jesus Christ. He gave his sinless body for you. He shed his sufficient blood for you. And you repent of your sin. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. And by grace through faith, you are saved, transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we do this until he comes. Somebody say amen. When you observe the Lord's Supper, the proper procedure that you go through, that God will bless in your life, is a time for reflection needs to be embraced. You look backwards to the cross, but you look forward to his coming. Are you looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus? Are you looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, that's what the Apostle Paul said. Christ is in you, your hope of glory. Jesus Christ is coming back for you. He didn't create you as junk. He redeemed you as something very valuable and priceless. He lives in you, and he's coming back for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we look backwards to the cross. We look forward to his return. But number three, we look inward for our need of cleansing. We work inward for any cleansing. In verse 28 of the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28 he says, but let a man what? Examine, evaluate, discern himself. What do you see today when you look inside? We can't see inside of you. You can't see inside of me, but the Lord does. And what he's given us is an ordinance, a physical act that pictures a spiritual truth. The physical act that represents the sinless body of Jesus and the sufficient blood of Jesus, you taking it in your hands, you putting it in your mouth, you chewing the bread and you drinking the juice, reminds you of the cross, reminds you of his promise to come and get you, but it lets you see inside, what is it that you need to deal with today that you've never put under the sufficient blood of Jesus? It's a personal time of evaluation. It's a time, and that's why God says, he's not going to tell us how often to do it. He said, I'm not going to tell you how often to do it, but as often as you do it, keep these things in mind. Look back to the cross. Look forward to his return. But look inside for the need of cleansing. In other words, has it been a long time since you've confessed your most recent sins? Is there an attitude that you've been harboring? Is there a place that you've been rebellious in your heart or in your life that you've not surrendered to his lordship? And when you look at this sinless body and you look at this sufficient blood, it cries out to you, I died for that rebellion. I died for your choice. I died for that sin. I died for that, and I'll cleanse it if you'll give it to me. I don't want to get too graphic here. I think you can get the picture. But after 53 hours of traveling and sitting in hot, unair-conditioned airports, I needed a shower. Everybody needed a shower. You know, whether it's sports or whether it's hygiene, nobody wants to be that guy. Nobody wants to be that guy that can't carry his weight on the team. Nobody wants to be that guy that everybody says, what's his problem? Nobody wants to be that guy that's so dirty and so grungy that is beginning to affect others. When you're so dirty and you're so grungy and you get a whiff of it, everybody else has had a whiff of it long before you have. That's the way our sin is. If you're just now getting a whiff of it, God's probably had it for a long time where others could see or smell as well. And so he's given us this ordinance called the Lord's Supper, this physical act which represents a spiritual truth of cleansing. Now, the Simon Peter, do you remember when the Lord instituted this Lord's Supper, he also washed his feet? And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Peter said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. He said, well, wash my whole body. He said, you don't need your whole body washed. You just need to be cleansed. You just need to be washed. You need to be rinsed. Your feet's dirty. We need to clean your feet. Today, where have you been walking that you shouldn't have been walking? Where have your eyes been looking they shouldn't have been looking? What have your hands been handling they shouldn't have been handling? The need for cleansing is present in all of us. And one of the tools, one of the channels God's given us is the Lord's Supper. And we look backwards to the cross. We look forward to His return, but we look inward for cleansing. If we confess our sin, He is faithful. If we confess our sin, He is just. What's He faithful in? What's He just to do in this context? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, but to cleanse us from it as well. How many need to be cleansed today? How many of you are tired of a sin, of a stronghold, of a habit? God says, I don't want you to carry that any longer. I don't want you to be defiled with that any longer. I don't want you to be dirty any longer. I want to cleanse you of it. Come to the blood. It's sufficient for it. So what is the proper procedure? There is a time of reflection that needs to be experienced when you observe the Lord's Supper. But number two, there needs to be a time for repentance to be expressed. There needs to be a time when you've reflected on the cross, when you've reflected on His return, and you've reflected on your need for cleansing, that you need to do something about it. You need to do something about what you see at the cross. You need to do something about what you anticipate in His return. You need to do something about what you have done and not confessed and not made right with Him. It might be just against God, between you and God, but it might be somebody else. It might be somebody else that you need to go to make it right. It might be somebody else that you need to have a come to Jesus meeting with. He says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is then to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31 says, but if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. Oh, that's why God's given us the gift of the Lord's Supper. An ordinance, if you please, a physical act that pictures a spiritual truth. Reflection needs to be experienced, but repentance needs to be expressed. That's why it's a good thing before you take the bread, before you take the juice, you deal with what God is bringing to your mind. Now, two choices that you could do. If you're aware of unconfessed sin in your life, you could choose not to take the bread and not to take the juice. That'd be a good thing. But don't let a good thing become an enemy of a great thing. You know what the great thing for you to do is? Repent of that sin that's keeping you from participating in the Lord's Supper. You see, we so many times let good become the enemy of great. And it's a good thing if you don't unwisely participate in the Lord's Supper. But if it's been one time, or if it's been two times, and it's still that same issue in your life, experience some greatness today. And humble yourself and draw near to God and express your repentance to Him for being pitted against His will in your life. How many times does God have to bring you back into the shadow of the cross to get you to look at what He's done for you? How much closer do you need to get to His return than you already are before you'll get right with Him internally and externally? There needs to be a time for repentance to be expressed as we reflect backwards and as we move forward with God. Verse 29 says, if we would judge or discern the Lord's body. Now, two things that could mean. It could mean the Lord's body represented in the bread, which I think that it does, but it also means a second thing. If we would judge or discern the Lord's body. That's when we look around at the body that he has brought here, his body, his bride that he's brought here. And that's where we look, and if we ever have need of church discipline, this is where we look at the body. If we were ever in a season of disunity, we would look at the Lord's body. And we would use his body in symbol of the bread to look at his body represented by the people. That's why one of the founding principles of this church is unity and diversity. And we are so pleased and so honored that we can take the Lord's Supper as a unified body and as a diverse body today. There's a third thing that I want to share with you real briefly before we participate in the Lord's Supper. Not only is there a picture that's revealed and a procedure that's rewarded, but in the Lord's Supper, there is the presence that is real. There is the presence that is real. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, the Apostle Paul, talking to the church, says, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, what are we today? We're assembled. When you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that when we meet together, there is the potential for God to manifest his presence anytime in our midst? That's one of the reasons that we have adopted a philosophy of praise and worship here that encourages us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. God manifests his presence amongst the praises of his people. But also, he's given us the Lord's Supper that we assemble together around his body which is sinless and his blood which is sufficient. And God said, where two or three are gathered together, you can find me in the middle of it. And right here and now, I'm telling you that in a very real way and a very measurable way, we're about to experience the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hold his symbolic presence in your hands with the bread. You'll embrace and experience the symbolic presence in the juice representing his blood when you drink it. And Jesus Christ is going to manifest himself here. Some of you have already been convicted about a sin that you've not confessed. That's the presence of God manifesting itself in your life. Some of you are in a tremendous war right now about whether you're going to participate with the bread and the juice or whether you're not going to participate with it. That's the presence of the Lord in your warfare right now. And so in just a moment, you're going to have a chance to testify like John did. He says, of the Lord Jesus, we have handled him. Our eyes have seen him. Our ears have heard him. And we have embraced the very word of life himself. You're going to hold that bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. You're going to drink that juice. The life is in the blood. And his presence is real today. Can I get a witness? But before you get to do that, any repentance that you might have need of needs to be expressed. You need to express it to him if you need to repent. Now, here's the one thing that I want to help you to know. Even though confession of sin is a very solemn and a very serious thing, the Lord's Supper is not supposed to be a solemn thing. It's not supposed to be a funeral. It's supposed to be a celebration. Now, getting right might make you feel more like a funeral's taking place. But getting right makes you understand there's a celebration that needs to occur. And so I want to give you a time for that reflection. I want to give you time for that repentance. And at this time here, if you need to spend a little bit of time at the altar, I want you to do that. I want you to spend the time that you need at the altar expressing your repentance. But here's what you might want to do. You might want to take a stop by the table and take the bread and take the juice And whether you return to your seat or you find you a place at the altar, you may just want to take that bread and you may just want to take that juice and look at it and reflect upon it. Maybe you want to go back to Calvary and ask God, what was it like that day? How awful was it, Father, for you to have to turn your back on Jesus? How awful was it for you, Jesus, to become my sin offering that God the Father had to turn his back on you? How bad was it for you? I believe it will help you to take an inward look and say, what is it that I've not confessed that I need to confess in your sight today? Now, confession's not just saying, I'm sorry. It's saying, I did it. And being willing to walk away from it. And you say, well, I can't do it because I know I'm going back to it tomorrow. How do you know that? You haven't lived tomorrow yet. Now, what are you saying about the power of God to break a habit? What are you saying about the power of God that can break a stronghold? I mean, if you're really sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you really want to be radically right with God, why would you trade that off for some sin that's going to leave you less than what God wants for you? Why don't you come and say, oh God, I don't see how I'm going to be free from this tomorrow. But today's the day I'm dealing with, and today I choose to be free from it. I'm going to take the sinless body of Jesus, which was given for me. I'm going to take the blood of Jesus that was sufficient for what? If it can get you out of hell and get you into heaven, can't it get you right with God? If it can take all of your sin, and if it can take all of that separated you from God and bring you into a perfect relationship with Him, can't He break the power of another sin today? Oh, thank God for there's power in the blood of Jesus. And here today, the church didn't pay it all. Here today, the government didn't pay it all. Here today, Jesus paid it all. It's either sufficient or it's not sufficient. The only question is, are you going to agree with Him? What's the sin that does so easily trip you up? Are you willing to deal with that today? I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And David, could you have something to play for us or to let us do that? And I'm going to uncover the bread and I'm going to uncover the juice. We want to give you a chance to come by. Take a cup filled with juice representing the blood of Jesus. Give you a chance to take the bread representing the body of Jesus. And I want to give you a chance just to reflect on Calvary, to look forward to His coming. You may want to get around the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords banner or Everlasting Father or Jehovah Jireh, or the truth will make you free, or Jehovah Jireh, or you see the Jesus banner. You may want to get by any of those banners and just have some quality fellowship time with Him. You may want to repent before you take the bread and the juice in your hand. Or you may want to take the bread and the juice in your hand and just evaluate whether this sin is worth you continuing another day longer in. And let God speak to you, because His presence is real. Father, we love You and we praise You and we thank You for this ordinance. Lord, we're about to participate in this physical act which pictures a beautiful spiritual truth. Lord, we're going to look back to the fact that Jesus died. We're going to look back to the way that He died. And Lord, we're going to look back to the reason that He died. Thank You for dying for our sins. We know that Your return is sooner today than it was yesterday. We're nearer to it now than we ever have been before. And so, Lord, we want to be clean when You call us unto Yourself. So use the body and use the blood to help us to cry out to You and agree with You about our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.